An article he wrote shared these two contrasts, these two individuals in schools. He said that some years ago, a fire broke out during an Air Canada flight from Dallas to Toronto. The pilot began a dramatic and sudden descent, knowing that he had but a few moments to land if anyone survived. As soon as they opened the door for rescue, the whole aircraft, sucking in the oxygen, turned into there were some fatalities and some suffered burns, but because of his skill and the crew's commitment, many were rescued. Captain was the last one to leave the plane. He was pulled through the window of his uniform and fired. He deserved the tearful and heartfelt commendation he received from someone who had done it. April, buried in Seoul, South Korea, capsized, killing hundreds. Most of the passengers were high school students who ultimately drowned while waiting for instructions to land the ship. Captain himself had fled the sinking ship and made sure he could stay on the ground island, prompting a chorus of condemnation and beloved of the law of the law. The teacher, who had organized the trip, took his own life, feeling that he had no right to live while most of the students failed. Even the Prime Minister of South Korea offered to resign because of his failure. No celebration here, no commendation of a brave man, just a series of wrong decisions that came as a result of one ultimate moment, a man who put himself first and failed. So you get this contrast, right, between a man who was commended for his bravery and for his willingness to do the duty that he had been given, and because of that, saved his life. And then on the other side, you've got a man who was condemned for his cowardice, because he didn't do the duty, because he abandoned ship, and then he lies a lot. Last week we talked about the contrast between the invitation of the wise woman and the invitation of the widow's daughter. We talked about the reality of these two invitations and what the outcome is when we accept one or the other of those invitations. We also talked about the fact that these are open-ended invitations. These continue to be offered to us even today. Will you listen to the wise woman and her invitation to walk away with you? Will you listen to the woman of folly and follow her? There are really only two options in this race to us. Well, I want to come back to chapter 9 of Proverbs today and look at the verses in between these two invitations, verses 7 through 12. Because it's in these verses, it seems to me, that we find the instructions that the wise woman gave to her maidens. Remember, we are told that the wise woman built her house. She hewed the house in seven pillars. So she prepared her house, and then she prepared the food. Then she prepared the table. She prepared her food. She prepared the best wine. And then she set the house for maidens. And her maiden's job was to go out and invite people to come and eat the meal, if you will, and come and enjoy the benefits of wisdom to walk that way. Well, here in these verses 7 through 12, it seems we have some instructions that were given to these maidens, the things they needed to know if they were going to take this invitation. I can't help but see the correlation, because we have been called by God as followers of Christ, those who have accepted the gift of salvation, who are striving to walk the way of wisdom. We have been given the opportunity, like the maidens, to go out and to invite others to participate in this grace, if you will, to walk this way of wisdom. And so as we invite others to walk the way of wisdom, there are certain truths we need to know. There are four that I want to point out from this section. This is not all we need to know, obviously, but these are the four gracious offer of salvation to you, as well as what it means to walk in the right relationship with God. As we saw last week, there are some requirements. We've got to deny or walk away from the way of following you and embrace and walk in this way and make a decision. Well, what is it that we need to know? Well, verses 7 to 12. He who corrects a scoffer is dishonored for himself. He who treats a wicked man is insulted for himself. Do not reprove a wise man. Do not reprove a scoffer. That's the teaching. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man. He will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man. He'll increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. He says, for by me, your days will be multiplied. Years of life will be added. Devise your life to yourself, and if you stop, you alone will damage. What are these four things that these maidens need to know, that we need to know, that will help us as we take this invitation? The first, the most response that we should expect today. There are two extreme responses that we should do. And most people are somewhere in between, right? Somewhere on the spectrum between these two extremes. On one end, you have the scoffer. On the other, you have the wise person. The completely wise person. And most of us fall somewhere in between. Most of the people that we're going to come in contact with are going to be somewhere on that spectrum. What is a scoffer? A scoffer is one who mocks or scorns truth and those who obey. And we see this person. When we bring the message or the way of wisdom, right, the scoffer will bring dishonor, will insult you, will hate you. And so what we need to understand is that a scoffer will hate you. If you bring the message of the way of wisdom to a scoffer, they will hate you for it. Oftentimes, that right there is what prevents us from understanding. What do we think? Well, you need to know that the scoffer, they're going to hate you. Go into it with our eyes wide open. No. And he even says, in verse 8, do not reprove us. Now, understand, the gospel is reproof, correction, instruction. If our message simply is, God loves you, wants you to be happy in this life, and wants you to just do whatever you want to do, and he will just accept that, then we're not presenting the gospel. Giving something other than the gospel. And unfortunately, many people today are doing that very thing. The gospel is the truth. The gospel says, you are a sinner. You are walking the wrong way. You're doing the wrong things that reveals a wrong heart in something. God is loving us, he is. Send his son. Take the punishment for that sin. He took it upon himself. He paid the price, the punishment we deserve, so that through him we might be forgiven and have a relationship with God. People don't understand what's the good news about salvation. They don't understand that they're on their way to return to the heart of God because of their sin. There is an element of reproof in the gospel. Not because of my fear. They will mock. They will dishonor you. I mean, dishonor means to demean someone, to put them down, to make them feel small. And that's precisely what some people do. They will make you, try to make you feel like you're so foolish. Insults are defects, spots, blemishes, stains. They might even try to bring some kind of blemish upon you. They might talk about you to other people. You're the trying to tell me. first time. I'm very familiar with Matthew 15 because it talks about that how the Pharisees didn't want, were upset at Jesus' disciples because they weren't ceremonially washing their hands before they ate. So they were all bent out of shape about this. But the traditions of men say that you need to wash your hands before you eat, or you're defiling your body. Jesus said, no, it's not what goes into the body, it comes out, right, from the heart. And then Jesus, and this is what we see in Matthew 15, 10 to 14. And after he called the multitudes to him and said to them, hear and understand, not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Then the disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? What did he say? It's the answer he said, every plan the Father got planned to do that. And he said, let them alone. The blind guy is blind. The blind man runs the blind man does the blind man. That phrase, let them alone, roots to that. Jesus isn't concerned about people not agreeing. Jesus doesn't seem to want to make sure everybody understands and buys into what he has to say. He's about proclaiming the truth to all who will listen. And somebody who doesn't like that, he says, it's not our job to convince anybody. It's our job to proclaim it to our life and to our world. If somebody chooses not to believe it, it's our job to convince them. Jesus wasn't because he didn't love them. Jesus loved them by telling them the truth. This is very interesting. And so, you see that when people are hostile to the gospel, it's not our job to spend all my time trying to convince people. I'm trying to thank you. Well, God is truth. What do you do with a person who is proclaiming things that aren't true? And you don't necessarily think them to stop, but they are foolishly going after something that isn't true. How do you know that? Well, there are two verses that are right beside each other in Proverbs 26 that really put us in a place where we really have to wrestle with what this is. I'm going to just share them with you. And because we are in a dilemma today, in verses 25 of Proverbs 26, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, as you also do not. Which sounds a lot like the first thing here. Don't respond to a fool like the fool is, because then you just become like, in other words, if they're mouthing off and they're creating all kind of chaos, you don't respond the same way. Well, we're just like them. The next verse says, answer the fool as his folly deserves. So what a dilemma. It almost seems like these two verses contradict each other. We don't answer a fool according to his folly. We answer him as his folly deserves. We give him the truth of our belief. We don't do it the same way. We don't jam. Again, we've said this one time. People who are, they want everybody to agree with them. Now, I have to believe it because they're not sure of what. And if they can get enough people to agree with them, then they can be convinced. And so, it's not just that you have to let them be. They want you to celebrate. They want you to be by your decision. We don't come back with them the same way we come at us. We do it with grace. I don't know how many of you saw the other day, and priority, the first principle, and it means progression. It's interesting that, you know, in verse chapter 1, verse 7, it says the fear of the Lord begins with knowledge. This one says the fear of the Lord begins with wisdom. We often look at that and say, oh, the difference is knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom is not what the problem is. Very similar concept. People look at the one's different, but they're very similar. But the, actually, the word beginning is a different word. If you look, translate the same in the word translation, so it's a different word. Again, closely associated, but the nuance of chapter 1 is something that starts. So in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, that's that word in chapter 1. This is the beginning of something, starting something. This word, the nuance, is prerequisite. In order to have wisdom, you must have the fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, you cannot have this biblical wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is the prerequisite to wisdom. As we've said in the past, we've been going through this section of scripture, the fear of the Lord involves a recognizing who God is that you're dealing with. So we read the word and then recognize who God is in the world. Then there is responding to that understanding of God through an acknowledgement of who he is and praising him, and then there's a submitting to that truth. This is the fear of the Lord. Recognizing, responding, and submitting. Without that, there is no biblical ministry. Don't have any wisdom or understanding. all you want out of 10 to 5, but you will get anything you want. You're called to live longer. The benefit for us is spiritual life forever and the abundant life God has designed for us as we walk this earth. Or here's to put it this way. God wants to add years to your life and life to your years. You should experience full and abundant life as you walk this earth. So that, not only for your good, His glory, but also because through that, we're able to our abundant life. We're able to test it as well. Where am I from? Is it any wonder why we see that the destruction is going on, the chaos that's going on in our cities? Because the thief comes only to steal and to destroy. That's the word of the end. That's all the enemy has to offer. So we come now to the last of the responsibility. As we invite people to the religion, we want to know there is a responsibility. It says, if you're wise, you're wise to yourself. If you stop, you're not going to marry. If you choose wisdom, you do better. Just as we talked about, then spiritual life, right there, right? You will better. Read the book of Proverbs, you see many of the benefits of walking away of wisdom. Closer walk to the Lord. Protection of sin, guidance in life, good relationships with other people. These are all things that come when we walk away of wisdom of all the time. We're going to take the next few weeks throughout the book of the month of August to look at chapter 10, following just follow through the themes that we see. But if you choose wisdom, you benefit. The interesting thing about wisdom is you can't transfer it to someone from the beginning. You can teach them, they can receive instruction, and then when they embrace that, then they can be wise. But you can't transfer wisdom from yourself to someone else. You can't get it. Others can benefit from it in the sense that as you walk wisely, you affect other people's body with it. But you can't do it. You can blame it. As parents, we love to do it. We can't. We have to embrace it. Because we have to embrace it. Our parents wish it. Just give us a little. And then he says, if you stop, if you choose stop, then you choose to go. Who are the consequences? Make no mistake, there will be consequences. In fact, a couple of verses later in the chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs 14:6 says, a scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none. But knowledge is easy for him who has understanding. Because if you don't understand it, then you have a relationship with God. Because it's not an old man. So it's easy. In the sense that we can find it. Stop it, can't find it, can't believe it. Because it's good. And then Proverbs 24:9 says, the wise man follows sin and stop it. Said before, who wants to be around a strong? Who wants to be around somebody who never admits a wrong? Who argues with you every time you have a wrong? Who makes you feel like you're an idiot for having a wrong? Who tries to put you down? Why would anybody want to hang out with you? I wonder if something